Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. January is almost over. It's taken forever. Is this the longest month ever, Dalton, to you?
It has been a really long January, especially with the snowpocalypse we just had.
Whew, man. I didn't think I was going to survive that one. When was that, Tuesday night?
Yeah, it was yesterday. It was Monday night
/ Tuesday morning is when we were supposed to all die in the snowpocalypse. More like no-pocalypse, am I right?
Yeah, I made some good...
Get it?
Yeah, I made some good dirt angels outside. So.
That's right. You, me, and me and Derek and John Luke McCord are supposed to go out and make concrete angels in the parking lot the next day. We didn't have time to do it. Speaking of John Luke, he's now taking pictures or something of us while we podcast. Doing the social media thing or something. Hey, welcome in to Prep Rally. Brad and Dalton here, and we have a lot to talk about. We've been out to a lot of basketball, Dalton. Of course, we had the Robertson's Lady Challenge and the Hotbed Classic last Saturday, so those are big deals, along with our regular coverage.
Yeah, I think this has probably been, over the course of the last 7 days, it's probably been the busiest we've been in basketball. It seems like we've been out there every single night.
We're just doing work and loving it. So we got those to recap. We got some other games to talk about. We'll look ahead a little bit to what's happening this weekend on the hardwood. Also got some soccer updates for you. Playoffs have gotten underway this week. We'll have athletes of the week as well. Before we move on, I want to remind you that this podcast comes to you every Wednesday. You can find it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Let's start by looking back, Dalton, at some hoopage from the past week. On Saturday, as I mentioned, had two big events, one for the guys, one for the girls. Start with the Hotbed Classic, Dalton. Had some big-time players there from out of state and some big-time teams. Also had some good local matchups, in particular the one you covered, New Albany and Holly Springs, which I was hoping would be a good game. Honestly, I kind of thought Holly Springs would win that one, but they didn't.
Yeah, I thought the same thing going into it, but you could tell from the start that New Albany, I don't know if they really wanted it more, but they were just playing better that day. And, you know, that was one of the games in the hotbed that didn't have the most talent for sure.
Yeah.
But it was an excellent game. New Albany won 78-66, 12-point game. It was between... I think after starting about the second quarter, it was between about a 10 and 20 point game the entire way. It was close at the half. It was a 15 point lead at the half, so it wasn't as close as I remember it being. But then the third quarter, Mitchell Shells just went off, and Holly Springs went on a little bit of a run there in the third quarter, but Mitchell Shettles couldn't be stopped, so he just kept pushing that lead back out. I think he ended up with three or four threes. In that quarter alone, he scored 19 points in the quarter, which is what he's averaging on the season.
He ended up with how many? 32
points and made 15 of 17 free throws.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he was getting fouled everywhere. Wow. He got a lot of help from Isaiah Ball.
Yeah.
He, the point guard, he controlled the game a lot. He had 10 points at the half. He was the leader at the half and ended up with 14 points. You know, Shells just took over there in the second half and he couldn't be stopped.
Yeah. Yeah, when he's on, New Albany is dangerous. And they got a lot of potential for the future with, you mentioned Isaiah Ball and Zach Ball, and they got a freshman, I forget his name now, but supposed to be pretty good as well. So that's a good solid win for New Albany because Holly Springs got some talent now.
Oh, yeah, Holly Springs got a lot of talent. You know, Corey Bell and Derek Fountain mm-hmm. both juniors that were named in North-South All-Star Game. Corey Bell ended up scoring 20 points. He had a really good day, and that's kind of where they run their offense through. And I think Derek Fountain ended up with, I don't know if he had double digits. It was pretty close if he didn't, and then probably he had double digits rebounds.
Right.
They actually Holly Springs actually out rebounded New Albany by 15, and New Albany still won by 12 points.
Wow. Just,
you know, if you got to score to win the game, it doesn't matter how many rebounds you get. But you know, Holly Springs is good. I expect them to make a run in 3A. It's just their core of the Corey Bell, Derek Fountain, and Davion Miller right there. Those three guys are really solid.
Yeah. All right. Well, good deal, man. And we had also the Robertson's Lady Challenge in Boonville. I went out to that, and the feature matchup was number one Pontotoc, our top-ranked team, against number two Lafayette, which Lafayette was our preseason number one, and then about 3 weeks ago we flipped them because Lafayette lost a couple. And so this game was going to really tell us who was number one, and I think Ponasok made a definitive statement on that, Dalton. I think everybody in the gym, even Coach Kyle Hurd for Ponasok, was surprised at how it went down. They jumped out to a 20-6 lead after the first quarter, 38-11 by halftime, mm-hmm. and it was over by that point. It just a totally dominant victory. I think the final score was 64-40. I don't have it in front of me, but it was never close. Never.
Yeah, it was funny because we were talking. Me and Blake Long were talking at the hotbed, and you know we were sitting there and like, oh yeah, Brad's covering that game over there. That game's gonna be really good. And then all of a sudden, I saw the score pop up at halftime. I leaned over. I told him, I said, we were completely wrong. That game's not good.
I think nine times out of ten, it would be a closer game. Yeah. It just was. I mean, Pontotoc was on, and Lafayette, they had some good looks that just wouldn't fall. Azaria Buford, their leading scorer, was 0-11 from the floor. She had one mm-hmm. point. I think after a few misses, it just her and the whole team, and they started to get frustrated and maybe got in their heads a little bit. And Pontotoc, I mean, they had players from all over the floor scoring. Dee Dee Shepherd early in the game. Amber McCoy mm-hmm. Had a nice game as well. Jaden Spears does a good job running the point for them. And just a well-rounded team. Samaya Brooks inside. Angela Middleton gives them some good minutes as well in the post. So that's Sky Vaughn. She had a good game too. Mm-hmm. I mean, just you can go through list five or six girls that you can – count on having pretty good games, and some nights it's one having a bigger game than the other.
Yeah, well, you know, Kyle Hurd told me last week, I think it was two or three days before the tournament, he said that, you know, he felt like they shouldn't have lost to Pearl, or if, you know, they were trying to rebound off that, and I'd say they did. You know, they went out there and played Lafayette better than anyone has all year, and I could honestly see both of these teams making a run for the state championship, and that's a huge win for Pontotoc. You know?
Yeah, Pontotoc, a 4A school, Lafayette, in its second year of 5A, they reached the quarterfinals last year, won a 4A state title 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and they have a lot of talent. Of course, Zaire Burgess has been out all year and will continue to be out with that ACL. I really wish he could have played this year. I think it would have been a better game if Burgess was in it, but Pontotoc was just – they were on.
They're good, too.
They're very good.
Very good.
I want to talk real quick about a game I saw Tuesday night, Ingomar and Belmont. This game was at Ingomar, talking girls hoops, and this was a game going in I thought maybe Belmont could win. You know, they really probably should have beat Pine Grove at the Robertson's tournament on Saturday. They had them down by four in the final minute, but Pine Grove, you know, the two-time defending 1A state champs, made some big plays on both ends and ended up getting a 1-point win out of it. Taylor Fletcher had a layup with 6 seconds left to win it there for Pine Grove. So Belmont comes back Tuesday against Ingomar, our third-ranked team, and I think Pine Grove is our fifth-ranked. Belmont's ranked 10th, and I thought they could win this game, especially because coming in we thought Lauren Thompson wouldn't be playing. Mm-hmm. Now, Lauren is a senior, really good scorer, really good outside shooter, and you know, she can play in the post as well and get rebounds. She's got good size, so we thought she was going to be out because she got in a car wreck. It was a week ago today. Somebody going about 60 rear-ended her, and she ended up getting a little bit of whiplash and a stiff neck. And before the game, she was actually out there warming up. I was surprised to see her because Trent Adair had told me, I don't know how long she's going to be out. Mm-hmm. But she'd gone to therapy a couple times and convinced them to clear her to play. And then she goes out and she starts, and she plays most of the first half, doesn't do much. And then at halftime, Trent Adair is like, Lauren, you passed up like at least two good looks on a couple of pick-and-pop plays. So take those shots. So mm-hmm. third quarter, she comes out, and when she do, she hits all five of her field goal attempts, including 3 3-pointers. And that sparked a big Ingomar run as they pulled away and ended up defeating Belmont last night. So she looked fine, ended up with 20 points. Let me see here if I got her stats. Pulled up right here. The final was 46-38. Ingomar and Lauren shot 7 of 10 from the field, 4 of 5 from three-point range.
This was her flu game.
Exactly. It's her Michael Jordan flu game or whatever. So I think, you know, she may be a little bit sore today, but I think she's going to be just fine. And they certainly need her if they want to make another run at a state title. So Belmont, I mean, They're a team that's kind of, I think, still they're improving. They're getting better. But Macy Walker, they're a big scorer. Ingomar did a real good job on her, just held her to 10 points. And that's about a dozen below her average. But Belmont, I think, will be tough to deal with there in 3A. Let's look ahead real quick, Dalton. What's coming up in basketball? Hey, on Friday, you've got a story coming on Deshaun Berry, the kid from Holka. You actually got to go out and see him last night at TCPS. Holka won that game. But Deshaun has just been lighting it up all year. You know, Madarius Hobson graduates. Deshaun, who played a good bit last year and was a key player, steps in, and he's averaging, I don't know, 26, 27 a game. The team is struggling, but he's not.
Yeah, you know, he averaged, I think it was 16 last year, you know, with Madarius Hobson, who was our player of the year.
Yep.
And then now he's averaging, before last night, he was averaging 27.8 points per game, but he scored 33 last night, so I imagine he's a little bit over 28 now, which
right.
is good for top five in the state. And, you know, when I saw him last year, I don't remember him being as dominant as the post as he was, but that was also Hobson did most of the work for him last year.
Right.
But, you know, he's only a 6'1", 6-foot guard, and he just dominates in the post. He had, I think last night, he shot made five free throws, and then he had 33 points. I think 26 of the 28 came from layups or putbacks or
right.
in the paint. Only one was a jumper. And he just gets it done. He's very efficient. You know, he's shooting over 50% from the floor in the season. And, yeah, I think they're 5-17 now, the team. You know, they had a really rough start. I think they started off 0-8 or 0-7. Yeah.
But they're like, what, 3-1 in division?
3-1 in division. And this was last night. They was their second game to win in a row, their first win streak of the season. And they looked good last night. You know, TCPS, you know, is a good a team. You know, they're not the strongest 1A team that Hochul will face, of course, but that was a good win. You know, that was a game that you don't see a lot of teams that are 5-17 control the game, and Hulka did last night the entire way through. So I think that's good for them going forward.
Yeah.
They're very young.
Yeah, two 8th graders playing last night?
Yeah, they cycle in 3 8th graders that play for them. And one of them hit 3 threes. The other one had 3 layups, I think. They both had a couple blocks and steals. They had really good nights. And
It's just kind of a year of transition for them. Of course, Jimmy Guy McDonald retires, so Seth Burt takes over, was the assistant. Of course, again, you lost Madarius Hobson, lost some other good players like Smooty Turner, the point guard. So it's it's going to be some growing pains, but I get the feeling Hulka will keep going on an upward trend.
Yeah, and most of their core scorers, especially from last night, what I saw, most of the core players that were getting a lot of minutes and doing a lot of work were juniors or under.
So. Yeah, I think Barry's a junior,
yeah. And I think they had one senior that got into foul trouble in the game, and he didn't get much playing time. And they had another senior that came in garbage time. And
right.
So I look for them to, you know, maybe finish out this season a little strong, division tournament. I don't know if they have a chance against Oklahoma or not.
I don't know anybody does.
Yeah, right. But then next year, you know, I'd see them.
Yeah,
could possibly maybe return to Jackson next year.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows if they keep progressing.
Definitely be more competitive. Let's also look at a girls. Again, that feature is coming in Friday's paper on Barry. Big girls game coming up Friday night. Nettleton at South Pontotoc. And unless Max Preps is lying to me, I believe they're both undefeated in Division 4-3A. So this is basically for the division title, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and South Pontotoc's been playing awfully well. They moved back into our rankings this week. And Nettleton's a solid team, too. I've seen him play. And I got Sharnice Mosley that really kind of makes them go offensively. But, and of course, you know, South Pontotoc, they got that guy named Bill Russell coaching them.
Who?
So, nice. Yeah. Yeah, so you know they're going to be a tough team to deal with.
Well, I saw Nettleton a few weeks ago in the Lee County tournament, and then they beat Saltillo. They looked really good.
Yeah.
But I've also seen South Pontotoc this year in that, you know, that press that they run in the.
Yeah.
It is extremely effective.
Yeah. Yeah, and I saw Nettleton once, and when they actually lost to Amory at Amory. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think that was their best game. But anyway, so that's coming up on Friday. Real quick, Dalton, let's talk soccer. Playoffs started this week. Had a lot of teams win in the first round. Most of the games got moved up to Monday because of the weather thing that didn't happen. Tupelo playing later this afternoon as we're talking a few hours from now. Tupelo boys, that is. So we had a lot of teams move on, didn't we?
We had probably, you know, close to 10 teams that are going to be in the second round.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more. And most are girls. I think we only have, you know, before the Tupelo's game, we have 3 boys right now. It could be 4 after today. And, you know, most of the teams are going to be on the road in the second round besides a couple home
games. I think we just got the Saltillo girls are at home against Lewisburg, and then you got Ripley at New Albany. Boys.
Yeah, that's going to be a good little rivalry game. I think Albany beat them 2-1 earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Ripley's coming out of that overtime win in the playoffs.
They won
2-1 over Northeast Jones and had a little overtime goal. Pontotoc will visit West Lauderdale and 4A boys as well. They mm-hmm. had an overtime win over New Hope also. And then girls, we have a whole list of them going.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So those games were, most of those were Monday, and again, Tupelo boys Wednesday. Everybody else, the second round is Saturday, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, Saturday. Okay. Real quick, let's do the shout out. We do this every week. Shout out to Biggersville boys basketball. Last Friday, they played Thrasher, and they scored 52 points in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
52. Don't know if that's a state record. I don't think there's anybody that keeps those stats. I've tried to check. Cliff Little, the coach, said that's the most he's ever had scoring a quarter for one of his teams.
It's got to be super close to a state record.
Yeah, it's insane. They're playing Thrasher, which has had a tough year, but still, you still got to make the shots, okay? And I got some numbers. I went back, actually. Cliff sent me the tape of the game. And so I went back and tracked because, you know, they keep up. He sent me the scorebook with all the field goals and stuff that they made, but they didn't keep track of misses. So I wanted to see what their shooting percentage was in the first quarter. Okay, this is just the first quarter. Biggersville made 22 of 32 field goal attempts. That's about 68%, including 3 of 4 on three-pointers. So they didn't shoot that many threes. Mm-hmm. You'd think with the 52 points, it'd be raining threes because that's a more efficient way to do it. In a way, but they had a lot of layups. They forced 17 turnovers in that quarter and scored off most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a lot of quick scoring. I mean, you do the math. They made 22 field goals. Well, they're taking 32 field goal attempts, so they were taking 4 shots a minute on average.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do the math on how many makes per minute, but still, it's a lot. And honestly, I mean, like they missed some layups and some free throws. They could have hit 60 easily.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, just looking at it, when you said they forced 17 turnovers, you're like, oh, you know, somebody turned the ball over 17 times in a game, you know, they probably lost. But in the first quarter. Yeah. Which it's funny to me because, you know, I covered Bearsville last week.
Yeah.
It was last Tuesday. Uh-huh. And Wheeler scored 20-something points in the first quarter. And I was like, man, Wheeler just cannot miss. And I was like, they just look really good offensively. They scored, I think, 22, 24 points. And then Biggersville comes out and drops 52 in a quarter. I can't imagine if I was sitting there watching that game. I'd be amazed.
I've never seen that. I don't think I've seen anybody score 40 in a quarter. I've seen them score 30-plus, mm-hmm. I think. But 52, that's a weird-looking box score. I saw it on Twitter, and I was like, what?
Usually when I see a team score over 30 points, it's in the fourth quarter.
Right.
I've never seen somebody score that much in the first quarter.
They just came out. And, you know, funny thing, you know, they beat Wheeler in overtime in that game that you talked about 3 days earlier. And Cliff Little was worried about a hangover.
Mm-hmm.
Well, didn't have to worry. Whatever the opposite of a hangover is, that's what happened.
Right.
They had 4 guys scoring double digits in that first period alone. Hunter Stacey had 16 points. He hit all 3 of the three-pointers. Quamon Davis had 12 points. Talik Barnett had 11, and Quan Mays had 10. So that's pretty good. We're going to have something in that about that in Thursday's prep notebook, so look for that in your daily journal and at djournal.com. Let's close it out. Oh, one more thing. They didn't score for the last minute 18 of the first quarter. They did all that work in under 7 minutes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's insane. Okay, now let's close it out with the athletes of the week. We do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments from the past week. Female athlete of the week, Claire Leak. She's a sophomore guard for Walnut. Had a little bit of something on them the other day. She had 14 points, hit 5 of 6 free throws, 11 rebounds. So she had a double-double, plus 5 assists in a 51-48 win over Baldwin on Monday. That's a good win for Walnut, a division win against a Baldwin team that beat Newsite the week before,
mm-hmm.
which was an upset. Then she had, before that, she had 15 points, 5 of 6 from the line, 8 rebounds, 5 steals, and a 47-33 win over Saltillo, a 5A school that was on Saturday at the Robertson's Lady Challenge. Then she had 16 points, 6 of 8 from the field, hit both of her free throw attempts, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, in a 56-49 loss to Ingemar. Walnut took Ingemar down to the wire. That was the game Lauren Thompson missed, but still, to come that close to beating Ingemar, pretty impressive. So Walnut's a tough little team there in 2A you need to watch out for, and they play in probably the toughest division in mm-hmm. the state. Male athlete of the week, Ross Matthews, plays soccer for Pontotoc. He had 3 goals, pulled the hat trick in a 4-2 overtime win against New Hope on Monday. That was in the first round of the 4A playoffs. So the Warriors move on to the next round. So congrats to Ross and Claire, your athletes of the week. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally, coming to you every Wednesday. You can find us in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Dalton's on there at DLMiddleton8, and I'm on there at Brad Locke. And that's it for Prep Rally. We'll see y'all next week.